So our gospel lesson comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and it reads from chapters 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. So we have likely either heard or used the adage, that child is a chip off the old block, or the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, to describe someone who resembles their parent in some way. And I think most parents have a sense of pride when they see that their child has inherited one of their better traits. In the same way, we as parents can cringe and maybe even despair when we find our children have inherited some of our less good qualities. But how do parents deal with raising a child who is not what they expected him or her to be? How do we raise children who are so profoundly different than we are that we hardly know where to begin in raising that child? I'm sure that had to be a question that Mary and Joseph asked. How do we raise a child conceived through the work of the Holy Spirit? How do we parent Emmanuel, God with us, the one spoken of through the prophets? Andrew Solomon, who's an author, asks a similar question. He says, how do parents raise a child who is profoundly different from them in some way, in his book, Far from the Tree? What if two parents who both enjoy full use of their hearing faculties gives birth to a deaf child? What if we have a child who is autistic or has Down syndrome or is a dwarf or is transgender? What if the child's a genius? What if our child is a prodigy? How do law-abiding parents handle children who become hardened criminals? What happens when children are fundamentally different from their parents in some way? These are the questions that Solomon takes on in writing his book. He began writing some 15 years ago after attending a protest of deaf students. These students so opened his eyes to seeing people with differences as not having disabilities, but as having their own unique gifts. And in his book, he follows the lives of many families who are faced with the challenge of raising children who are profoundly different than they expect them to be. He writes about how families deal with all kinds of unexpected outcomes, how resilient parents can be when faced with incredible hardships, and how connected are the identities of parents and their children. Solomon writes that many families grow closer through caring for a challenging child, that most discover supportive communities of other families who are similarly affected, that some are even inspired to be advocates and activists, celebrating the very conditions that they once feared. And woven into their courageous and affirming stories is Solomon's own journey to accept his own identity, which culminated in his midlife decision, influenced by this research he did to become a parent. Far from the tree, this book explores the themes of generosity, of acceptance, of tolerance, all rooted in the insight that, as Solomon writes, love can transcend every prejudice. Solomon focuses on the creative and often desperate ways in which families manage to tear down prejudices and preconceived fears and reassemble their lives around the life of this child that they love so much, but who alters their view of the world. And I think such is the story of Mary and Joseph. This child entered their lives, and he will ask them or force them to reassemble their lives and to alter their worldview in ways I don't think we can possibly imagine. Matthew's version of the birth of the Messiah starts with Joseph's decision not to raise this child, the child that is obviously not his own. And if we fully understand what was happening for Joseph in his time and in his culture, we see what is at stake for Joseph in this unexpected pregnancy. It was the custom of the young woman who is to be engaged to be brought into the man's family. But Joseph is faced with the fact that his young bride-to-be was with child. And the child was not his child. And I would imagine that Joseph was angry, that he felt incredibly betrayed, and he could have acted on those feelings. It would have been lawful for him to have Mary sent to the edge of the city and to be stoned. However, by the time of Jesus, it appears that some of the religious requirements had been scaled back or softened a bit. The punishment of death by stoning for a woman who became pregnant before her marriage had been replaced by a formal public renunciation of the woman, a ritual that would have shamed her family, or her and her family, for the rest of their lives. But if he does not do this, if he does not follow through with this public shaming of young Mary, then his own place in the community and his family's place in that community will be one of dishonor. He could be shunned for the rest of his life, and he could even lose his means of economic survival. So that in the eyes of that society, the right thing for Joseph to do, to protect his own good name and the good name of his family, is to expose Mary for her shameless behavior. Yet Joseph's first impulse is not to do that. Joseph decides he'll take a different course of action when he says he will deal with her behind the scenes. He resolves to stand aside quietly and to leave Mary and her family with their dignity intact, at least until someone else finds out that she's pregnant. To deal with Mary in this way was by quietly dismissing her. It was a challenge to the values of his time, and it would have been deeply counter-cultural. But for this righteous man, it seemed like the right thing to do. Then miraculously, things change for Joseph. Joseph has a vision. He has a dream, and this dream encourages him to take hold of a new reality, to embrace this mother and to embrace her child. to reassemble his life around this new reality. Perhaps like a parent who has a deaf or blind child, or a child who has mental illness, has to reassemble their life and create a new life around this child who they love, but who is distinctly different from who they are. And Joseph embraces this new reality when he takes Mary as his wife, and in doing so, he agrees to raise this child as if it were his own. And this move of compassion on Joseph's part is so counter to the values of his time that it challenges the nature of what it means to be righteous and honorable. In our day and time, we may see Joseph's choice as the right and honorable thing to do. But in his time, it would have been perceived very differently. Joseph's choice would have been seen by many as unrighteous and dishonorable. It was a risky choice, and it would have been seen by many as a scandal. And unlike someone who does the best they can to raise a child who has schizophrenia, who was a child of rape, or who turns out to be a criminal, there are numerous examples of brave parents who have taken on those challenges. This birth story in the Gospel of Matthew is really unlike any other birth story that has been told. It reverses all expectations, and there definitely is scandal at the center of this story. The story of the birth of Emmanuel, the story of the birth of God with us, the story of the birth of this child conceived by the Holy Spirit is messy. And maybe it should be that way. Maybe this child who will save their people from their sins, from the messiness they have made of their own lives, should enter this world through messy circumstances. So Joseph takes a leap of faith. He embraces this woman and this child and this scandalous situation. And because of the vision that he had, the appearance of an angel who tells him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife," he is able to trust God, even though trusting God may mean for him, for the rest of his life, that he will be surrounded with scandal and ridicule. People will talk. People will stare. People will laugh. People will gossip. And he, this Joseph, I'm sure, will try to protect Mary and this divine child as best he can from their scorn. And it's doubtful that Joseph knows that his decision will bring new life and new hope to the world, that this scandal, this messy situation, will transform history and bring salvation to the world. I'm sure his decision would have been much easier if he had any foreknowledge that that would be the end result. But just like so often in our lives, we don't know what's going to happen when we enter into a messy situation. And so it was a decision of a lifetime for Joseph. It was one he could have never expected to make. Yet I wonder if Joseph's story is at least in some small way similar to our own stories. We all have to make incredibly difficult decisions. We're all confronted with situations that we don't want to have to deal with. We all have to sort out what it means to do the right thing in a situation that might seem really messy at first. Such as the story of the parents of Moimoi, a child who miraculously, against all odds, came into the lives of an American couple and changed everything for them. They write, "She wasn't meant to be conceived, but she was. She wasn't meant to be born, but she was. She wasn't meant to survive, but she did. She wasn't meant to be our daughter, but she most certainly is. And when it turned out that she needed a special school where there was none to be found in our city, it never occurred to us or to any of us that starting a new school for her would be a problem. Now, 19 years later, Moi Moi's school serves hundreds of children from all over the state and the country. Because of her, over 100 people have jobs and a purpose in life that has transformed them into extraordinary bearers of good news in a world that is in desperately need of some good news. I believe that part of our call as Christians is to have a bit of Joseph in us, to move in faith and to pay attention to the dream of Andrew Solomon in his book, Far From the Tree, of an inclusive, welcoming community for those who society sees as different. All of us can respond by doing little and perhaps even big works or acts of compassion. All of us can act as Joseph and as the parents in Andrew Solomon's book by welcoming strangers, those who are different from us, yet who still need people in their lives, who still need community to embrace them, to accept them for who they are. And when we accept a stranger like the Christ child into our lives, when we act with forgiveness and love and hope and trust and determination, the world changes. One of the parents in Solomon's book writes that it is in paying attention to our dreams for a better reality for the children that we love that we can find that we can do extraordinary things. We can change customs. We can claim compassion. We can tear down prejudice and preconceived fears. And I believe that at its core, Christmas, the welcoming of this child into the world and into our lives, this child is who is uniquely different from us and what we would expect. And it's a strange thing. And as we, like Joseph, and like the parents in Solomon's book, do our best to welcome the stranger in our lives, this child who is so different from us, into our own worlds, as we seek to love this child as best we can, and as we embrace all that was good and continues to be good in the life of Emmanuel, God with us, those pieces of love and forgiveness and peace and hope and joy. May we too discover, as did so many of the parents in Solomon's books, that we tear down prejudices and preconceived fears, and we reassemble our lives around the life of a child who comes to alter our own view of the world. And as we do so, as we accept this Christ child, as we welcome this stranger and reassemble our lives around the messiness that he so often brings to even our own lives, may we discover that we bring some light, that we bring some life, that we bring some good news and community and acceptance to a world that desperately needs some of those things. Amen.